Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for hanging out here on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold. Dusty Likens in for Cody and Nick. That's right, in for both of them. He's doing everything. He's co-hosting. He's running the board. Nick back with us tomorrow. I believe Dusty will be with us hosting tomorrow as well, if we don't scare Dusty off.
Yeah, set your calendars. If I get to keep this job.
Are you threatening a work stoppage? Is that what you're doing? Because Friday,
like the time is right.
Friday in Major League Baseball, we're headed to a lockout.
And I saw what Max Scherzer just got. It looks
three
nice.
3 years, $130 million. You're seeing a lot of players and a lot of clubs kind of panic a little bit, trying to get these deals done before Friday's CBA and baseball expires. I don't believe you as a fan, though, should be panicking yet.
No.
But Major League Baseball simply cannot afford for the 2022 season to not start on time.
But do they just think that way?
Well, that's a whole other question, right?
Yeah, like, because do they think that?
I would like to believe that they recognize that this isn't 1994 anymore. That in 2022, you've got the NFL as popular as ever, NBA on the rise. Whether you like NBA or not, it just is. You've got so many more entertainment options, and everybody got creative during the pandemic too. That's why Tiger King actually was a thing. Like, I'm still convinced if it wasn't for COVID, Tiger King would never have been what it turned out to be.
Have you watched season two yet?
I'm done. No.
You're done with it? You don't even give it a chance?
No, I just don't have any interest because I was all about the first season.
I haven't seen an episode, but I'm
just not into it. But you have so many more options.
Yeah.
And so if you're baseball, you cannot afford for this next season to not start on time. Because the idea that, everybody will, if we miss 6 months, 3 months, or the whole season, everybody will come back? No.
Nobody's come back yet.
You already struggle with younger demographics in sport. It's trending in the wrong direction for that regard. Attendance wasn't great last year in sports in general. And there's still the pandemic impacting that. I understand. But if you are baseball, you can't let it happen. And if you're, unless we get to spring training or around spring training and there's no progress on Friday. Yes, it's a deadline because the CBA does expire for baseball. I don't know anybody that actually thought anything was going to get taken care of by December 1st. That was not an expectation. Shouldn't be panicking. It's not going to happen. Let's see what happens in January. Let's see what happens when we get to the first week of February. That's when the panic can set in, that there actually could be games missed. Could spring training be missed? That's when, to me, the old deadline spur action, that's when I think we see some real movement on this. Now, Vern, our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, was on this morning with Fesco in the morning, talking about what concerns him, what worries him, is players in the leverage that they may think they have, but do they actually have?
That thing that worries me is the players in the past two CBAs have been somewhat coasting on the backs of that 94 missed season and the sacrifices of that players' union. And at the time, back in mid-90s, Major League Baseball's players' union was the best union maybe in America, and mm-hmm. I think that the union leaders and the players themselves got a little lax, and owners, billionaires, as you would expect, pounced. And over the past two CBAs, the pendulum has really swung in favor of the owners, My hope is that the players don't think that they're going to be able to undo the past near three decades of labor negotiations, that they're going to be able to somehow go back to 94 and they'll have the upper hand. There, in my opinion, is no way that when and if this does get completed prior to next season, the owners are still going to have the upper hand, because they basically implemented a salary cap in the past 20 years with that luxury tax. Now, the players are going to be focused on competition. We can't have as many teams tanking.
Right.
And they want to do away with the 6 years of service time for young players. But I just don't see enough that they can give the owners for the owners to compensate them by competing, every team trying to win a championship, or paying the young players. The owners are going to win these negotiations. It's just how much, if any, are they going to capitulate to the players when the players really have no leverage right now, in my opinion.
Where's the compromise? Like, how much of a compromise at all? And what's the incentive, as Vern was laying out? Like, what's the incentive if you're the owners? Yes, you can say, well, if the players aren't happy and they're playing, there's no money coming in for the owners. Sure, but that goes on the other side. You can talk about the big stars in baseball. I remember this conversation we were having, I guess it's been a year and a half now almost, when it was COVID, right in the middle of COVID, and at that time, baseball season didn't start up till July, and it was very contentious between the Players Association and the owners, right? And the idea that, you know, there was the lower-level players, if you will, that hadn't made the life-changing money yet, and those guys, for them, sitting out two months, sitting out a season, for them financially was not an option. Yeah, the Max Scherzers of the world, they're good if they were to have to sit through a season. But the overall majority of the players still, right? The guys that are still on dealing with 6 years of service time or haven't got to their 6 years of service time, the guys that weren't the first round picks that got the $8 million signing bonus or whatever, the guys that are in the minor leagues, all of that, the impact that has. Those are the guys that are tougher. I know the minor league system doesn't have their own players association. It's a little bit different, but still, those decisions impact guys for years and years and years. Who's actually willing to bite the bullet for it? And it's going to be interesting to see when we get into February, if we don't have a deal at that point. Yeah, expanded playoffs, Dusty. Those are going to happen. I think the players probably recognize that's going to happen. But offering that to the owners probably already feel like they kind of have that in the bag. So what's the incentive for the owners to then say, all right, well, yeah, that whole 6 years of service time before you can be a free agent, before you can, in most cases, get that big payday, why would we let that go away? But can there be a compromise? I think Vern pointed out, can all of a sudden it go down? If are the players understanding that, hey, moving it from 6 to 5 is still somewhat of a win, that are you willing to take some of that? And are the owners willing to even go down to 5 years or 4 years on the service time argument?
It just really sucks because there are some people out there that do enjoy baseball for what it is. I think I'm in that field. I enjoy nothing more than going out to a baseball game, the sights, the sounds. The problem is I don't matter in this. You know, my generation is not seeking after major change, because I'm, no matter what, the rest of my life, I'm going to be linked into baseball. Like, I'm going to go home every night. The Royals are on if they're on. And I'm probably going to catch at least 2 to 3 innings of it. No matter what. That's just straight up how it is.
And
that doesn't matter because I'm locked in. How can you continue moving forward and get those people that are like, well, what do you do? Like, if you're not going to have certain sanctions, or you're not going to have certain, responsibilities where teams that need them, like you look at the Royals, who are never, ever, ever, ever going to compete with teams like the Dodgers, the Yankees, all those, the Mets, obviously now. How can you make the floor even or the ceiling a little bit lower or reachable? Now, I get it. The Royals had won a World Series.
And you're talking financially,
of course.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you get these players that come in and, why do these guys sign contracts now? Do they have any type of negotiation tactics that they can use to kind of move the needle their way more? And the thing is, what we've noticed is baseball has never budged. They still play 162 games. Their playoffs are extremely long and take forever. And the season is just way too long. The spring training's way too long. The regular season's way too long. And the average fan is checked out. You check out for a full season or maybe just a little bit of a season, good luck. Because what do every year, Alex? Every year when August gets here, we are very celebratory, excited, just happy that the NFL's back. And what is the NFL even doing then? practicing and playing a meaningless preseason game.
Yeah, because it's a majority of the MLB markets by the time you get to really June 15th.
Right, which is OTAs, right?
Yeah, roughly, right? Yeah. I mean, that you're done. I mean, I think Vern used the example this morning when he was on with the guys, and he said, like, if you're a Pirates fan, I think was the exact example he gave. He's like, if you're a Pirates fan, like 27 games in, you already know that your team doesn't have a shot over the last 5 to 10 years or whatever it may be. My thing is right now, if you're viewing these contracts, though, if you're a Royals fan and you're saying, man, there's all these teams are making moves, and most of these guys, the Royals would never have any chance anyway. When you're just seeing some of the money, Max Scherzer, 3 years, $130 million. I think there's an opportunity, much like last offseason. It was reversed, but it's still the idea that the Royals in this year can maybe be the more patient team. Last year, they were one of the few clubs coming off a COVID year to actually go and spend some money. They were one of the more early on. They were fairly active early on.
Yeah.
This year, majority of this roster seems kind of set. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't upgrade those, but it seems like they're pretty set, except for where? Starting pitching.
Sure.
That's the area. But there's a chance coming out of this, and we'll see if this drags into January, February, if the season starts on time and all that. If a new collective bargaining agreement is reached and we don't miss any time, and that's the hope, I'm sure, of everybody here in Kansas City, that the Royals, by being patient here, it may actually put them in a better spot. Like I think some of these guys right now are getting overpaid a little bit, and some teams and players, and there's a little bit of desperation there, the unknown, the uncertainty of what could happen if you don't get a contract done. I think that could work in the Royals' favor later on in the offseason, as long as there is a 2022 season, as long as there's not a true work stoppage. But on Friday, don't panic on Friday. When it's December 1st and the work stop or the lockout, I should say, not work stoppage, the lockout begins in Major League Baseball. CBA will expire, and there's going to be a lot of stuff that's floated out there, much like during the COVID year, which was, it doesn't seem like the owners and the players are going to agree on anything, and you're going to have these demands and this is the final proposal. We'll see if baseball has learned anything from what happened in 1994. And that goes for the players as well. As much as the owners, that's usually takes the heat for it. But this is on the players as well to find a way to recognize what is realistic in their leverage possibilities. And let's hope that we're all sitting there at Kauffman Stadium on opening day and not having any sort of delay. Hopefully we're out at Arizona for spring training, not having any delay to that either. That's when you can start to panic when it comes to all of that. We'll get to the audio fun bag as we do each and every Monday coming up in just a little bit. Man, there was some good stuff from both college football, from the NFL as well. That's here in just a little bit on Cody and Gold. But Lincoln Riley out at Oklahoma takes the USC job, a formal press conference taking place later on this afternoon. You probably have seen some of the reports as well on some of the recruiting flips and all that, at least 6 or 7 decommits from Oklahoma. I don't even want to get into that part of it other than Lincoln Riley made the right choice. And if you're someone that's a fan of Big 12 football still, or you're a K-State fan, a KU fan, even if you're a Missouri fan, even if you're in the SEC, you probably take some joy in this, that Oklahoma and Texas decided have these secret conversations to bolt for the SEC. People were calling Oklahoma and Texas traitors. Now there's signs on the campus at OU saying traitor for Lincoln Riley. Mm. Lincoln Riley did what Oklahoma and Texas did to the Big 12. And I don't fault Lincoln Riley. He's going to likely double his salary. And it's the right career move because in the Pac-12, his path to a college football playoff, therefore his path to a national championship, is a lot easier than going and taking Oklahoma, who failed to get to a Big 12 title game this year, Texas, who failed to get anywhere near a bowl game this year, going to the SEC just to be a middle-of-the-road team. I think Lincoln Riley saw that coming. If the Oklahoma Sooners, if the president, chancellors of that university, if they decided to stay in the Big 12, Lincoln Riley's still the head coach today at Oklahoma. I'm convinced of that. I don't think how you can say otherwise at this point. Lincoln Riley made the right decision to go to USC. He's taken a couple members of his staff over to USC, and I think this has been actually a fantastic season for those of you that follow the Big 12. Oklahoma and Texas not in the Big 12 title game. Some of your newcomers to your conference, Cincinnati, BYU having a really good season. Cincinnati might make the college football playoff. I took great joy in Lincoln Riley bailing on Oklahoma to go to USC. Oklahoma, it's Norman, Oklahoma versus LA. double the salary. To me, it's a no-brainer if you really step back and look at what's going on there. I know USC, it's a name brand nationally and all that, hadn't had success in a while. Oklahoma's certainly been far more successful than USC. But man, Lincoln Riley, with the talent pool in that area, with his name cachet, with the Pac-12 still, other than Oregon, for the most part, consistently who's the powers in that conference, you got a great opportunity to have a lot of success. But I don't think it should cloud what we're seeing in college football this year, should cloud your idea of the college football playoff system. What I mean by that is, in the first 7 years of the college football playoff, four teams held 17 of the 28 available spots. That was Alabama, it was Clemson, it was Ohio State, and it was Oklahoma. And now, if Alabama loses to Georgia, and they are underdogs as they should be because Georgia just looks ridiculous this year. If Alabama loses, then we're likely having a college football playoff without Alabama and Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. That's great for college football, but don't let it mask the idea that it doesn't need to be expanded still. I don't think it needs to go to 12. I think it should be to 8. But this is a great year for college football for this reason that we're seeing right now, which is some fresh blood. Isn't that what we wanted in the college football playoff? And I think Lincoln Riley also saw that coming a little bit too. If this thing expands, yeah, my odds of making it out of the Pac-12 are just so much better than even an expansion out of the SEC.
Right, and if he's also the guy that we think he is that can recruit quarterback talent and turn these quarterbacks into Heisman Trophy candidates year in and year out, he's not going to be able to get that type of recruitment when he goes to the SEC. He's not going to compete with Alabama. He's not going to compete with Georgia. He's just not going to. That's just a fact. He's not going to get the guys that he wants, and he's going to lose a lot of guys that maybe he thought he could get in the Big 12 with Oklahoma being a front runner. That being stated, you go to the SEC, or I'm sorry, you go to the USC. Boy, it's a lot easier to recruit kids with your track record, with your resume, in Southern California. And the other thing that's kind of interesting with Lincoln Riley is the fact that if you're the head coach of a major program, you would think that you would be in the know all the time, right? You would all have a table where it's like, oh, this is the president of the university, this is the head athletic director, this is Lincoln Riley. And it would appear that that situation in this circumstance was not the case with Lincoln Riley, that there was a meeting held without him, and then he showed up to work the next day and said, hey, I got some news for you. Oh, what's up? We're going to get a new facility? No, we're going to go to the SEC. And it's like, I think I would have been told that, because this isn't something that you make a decision of overnight. You don't just go into the morning and be like, hey, I think there's a chance we can join the SEC and we're going to do it. This is something that before he was hired was probably getting talked about, which means when they brought him in, they should have been like, hey, by the way, in about 3 or 4 years, there's the possibility
he was on Stoops' staff already, right? I mean, remember, he was an assistant.
But again, he's not the head coach, so even though they're not giving him that information, he's still, you know, not told, or maybe there's not the information there that let him know that he could be having that situation happen to him and his program. So what happens? I'm out. I'm going to get paid, if not more or a little bit more, and I'm going to go to a better location in a place where, like you said, I can be successful. And let's be honest, his end-all be-all is probably to be an NFL head coach. I don't know if he'll be at USC for 10 years, but I think he has a better chance at being more successful there with the windows of opportunity. And like you said, the chance at making that college football playoff and having a better chance, especially if they expand, which they will, because college football loves money in their pocket. And that's one way to do it, is to add more teams and make it a little bit more exciting when it comes to 12 instead of 8.
Text lines from the 785. I doubt Lincoln Riley will double his salary. Oh, you would have paid whatever they needed to keep him. This wasn't about money. It was 100% about going to be a spot for a national championship. I think a huge part was the college football playoff scenario, and I agree with you there, as we discussed. There's always money involved. It's always about money. And the reason why I say double the salary is Mel Tucker up at Michigan State just got a 10-year, like $10.5 million per year, or $10 million per year, I should say.
Hell yeah.
So if Lincoln Riley was, I believe it was $7.5 million. So that's where I'm getting the idea that he's not just going there out of the kindness of his heart and say, yeah, I know we can win here. You don't have to pay anymore. No, he clearly, USC, the conversation in LA is you've got the Rams and you got the Chargers and you got the Lakers, just sports entertainment options.
The ocean.
You know, right. Yeah, exactly. Like, and so USC, this was, you know, out there, they were calling it the most important hire in USC football history before they even knew it was Lincoln Riley, but just this was going to be that important of a hire. So Lincoln Riley headed out to USC. Bob Stoops will be the interim head coach for the bowl game, which will be very, very interesting to see how OU performs in a bowl game with everybody jumping ship, including what their strength coach, their defensive coordinator, and a support staff as well. But right now, let's get to a little audio fun bag, as we do each and every Monday here on Cody and Gold. Some of the audio, the moments from the weekend, both in the NFL, college football, and anywhere else from the weekend as a whole. Let's start while we're talking about Lincoln Riley. Let's stay right there. Lincoln Riley, after the game, after losing Bedlam to Oklahoma State, he was asked about his future.
Lincoln, are you shocked that you've gotten this far without anybody asking you about all the rumors this week?
I'm gonna
ask you about it, so I might as well. I mean, it's nonstop. I mean, it's every day.
Hold up, Gary. I'm not gonna be the next head coach at LSU.
Can I ask you?
Next question.
He didn't. I mean, he's not. He didn't lie.
He ain't lying.
I just love that. Like, he has that direct. I'm not going to LSU, knowing that a few hours later he was going to officially be announced as the head coach at USC. That certainly was interesting. Thinking of college football a little bit, you had Mike Tirico last night on Sunday Night Football. He was calling the Baltimore Ravens game. You said, "What do we mean college football?" Well, we know both Harbaughs had very good weekends. You had the Ravens winning, and then you had Jim Harbaugh finally beating Ohio State. Mike Tirico with the line of the weekend.
For the week, the final tally is Harbaugh's 2, Ohio nothing.
You've been waiting all night for that one.
It allows me to enter Ann Arbor safely when I return home.
Mike Tirico lives in Ann Arbor. What do you let the Chris Collinsworth laugh?
What a scumbag laugh.
I love the line from Tirico. I love the line from Tirico. That's fantastic. How about Michigan? You want to talk about one that nobody saw coming? Ohio State looked dominant. My God, Michigan, Harbaugh, no way he can win that game. Michigan just big boyed them up front throughout the game. Elsewhere on the audio fun bag, how about Bruce Arians and the head coach there of Tampa? The Bucs got a huge win against the Colts. And you know what a huge part of it was? They were able to, for the most part, shut down Jonathan Taylor until that final drive of the game where Taylor got going. Vita Vea was questionable heading in, ended up starting. Huge difference. He's playing this game. All of a sudden, his helmet kind of got pushed up a little bit, and he got a tooth knocked out. Like, you've probably seen the replay. Just tooth comes flying out, bloody mouth. He continues to play. Bruce Arians was asked about it.
I don't care. You know, you've got 30 other ones. You ain't gonna play without a tooth. I mean, that ain't nothing.
Just what a football coach.
Just a red ass.
He's got 30 other ones. Like, football too. He's not coming out. He's gonna be all right. It's football. Enough.
You think Vita Vea owns that and just kind of pulls the Mankind card? I don't know if you're familiar with who Mankind is.
I think in the offseason, you got to get that tooth replaced.
Nah, man.
No, you got enough money. You get that tooth replaced.
No.
If you had enough money, you just go without a front tooth.
Intimidation, Mr. Gold.
Nah, man, you get that. You get a nice new tooth out front.
I don't think he needs a ton of it, but boy, there was
I think you get a nice new tooth.
Mankind the Wrestler really kind of played the advantage of that when he knocked his tooth out in a wrestling match, and then the rest of his career, he just kind of let everybody know where it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And then lastly, Joe Buck was on the call of the Packers-Rams game yesterday.
Today, he took a pain-killing injection pregame where he said he can only feel 9 toes, and he told us his play will not be limited.
So Aaron is telling us that he's had that toe immunized against the pain. As a catch is made and lunging for the first down is Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and a first down for Green Bay.
That is the audio fun bag. Troy Aikman dead silent with that line from Joe Buck. Coming up next, we get to what's trending, and it looked like a great week to be on a bye for Kansas City, but was it?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, Sporting Kansas City saw their season come to an end yesterday at the Western Conference semifinals, lost to Real Salt Lake 2-1. Out at Children's Mercy Park. It seemed like things were going to break their way after being able to host after Seattle had lost to Real Salt Lake, and now the season comes to an end. Certainly a disappointing result for Sporting Kansas City. We'll see heading into next season how much turnover, how much change happens for Sporting. But that was disappointing. I know they obviously, with the Chiefs on a bye, kind of had set up perfectly there on Sunday afternoon. George Brett was out at the game. Of course, Mahomes, part of the ownership group, so they were out there. But Sporting KC's season came to an end.
You think Peter Vermes is all right?
Yeah.
He's locked in, good to go?
Yeah. I don't think he has anything to worry about.
Okay.
You do?
No, oh. I just figured I'd bring it up because it's,
no, I mean, it's a fair question. I think he's fine.
Successful season that looked like I think he could
just
be pretty
considering,
successful.
Like, because, of course, he's the results on the field most important, but, like, just what he, as far as the whole organization, as well, sure, the role that he plays in development and everything, I think is massive.
I just figured he's immortal, so I just want to clarify that. What's trending? Lincoln Riley officially named the head coach at USC. His press conference taking place later today. He leaves Oklahoma as they get set to transition to the SEC. Bob Stoops, can't believe I'm saying that out loud, will coach the team in its bowl game. Spencer Rattler, gone. He enters the transfer protocol as the top candidate for the Jayhawks' new quarterback. I'm kidding.
That part
is false.
I wish.
But Spencer Rattler out. In fact, he's so arrogant, he thought that the traitor signs were designated towards him and not Lincoln Riley.
Oh, man.
Look it up. He sucks.
I know you're not a big fan of Spencer Rattler.
No, QB1, look it up.
He was going to transfer whether Lincoln Riley was still the head coach or not, so this news was expected today. Like, that was always going to happen. Lincoln Riley leaving just means there's going to be more guys transferring. We've already seen more and more decommits happen for Oklahoma, but that is huge news in college football. And remember, there's still LSU still has a job vacancy. Like, it's going to, you know, who are they going to target at this point in time? It'll be interesting to see how that impacts college football. As far as college basketball, K-State got a win over the weekend against North Dakota, 84-42. KU upset by Dayton on Friday, last second buzzer beater there. Big time upset. They did win yesterday over Iona on Sunday down in Orlando, Florida for that ESPN Events Invitational. Missouri over the weekend losing to Wichita State. They host Paul Quinn College tonight. I had
never heard of him.
Never heard of Paul Quinn College. It is a private school in Texas, I believe, after doing a quick search.
Anybody freak out on your timeline with KU losing to Dayton early on in the season?
Yeah.
This team's just pathetic.
It's the same playbook, right?
We're lucky to get to the Sweet 16.
It's the same playbook. It's you either had the take of, oh, it's only November, which I would say is the correct take.
Thank you.
Then there's also the take of, oh, this team just, they're not going to be good enough, man. They're not going to be good enough. Then there's the other one, which is, well, it was good to get the loss out of the way. And those are the takes that come out of that. Look, it was a bad loss to Dayton, but they'll be just fine.
Number four, what's trending? Head coach for the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, has tested positive for COVID. Diana Rossini, ESPN, sources tell us that Christian McCaffrey also now out for the season with an ankle injury, as he was seen Sunday on the sidelines walking around in a boot. It breaks my heart. That man helped me win two fantasy championships. And then, like a successful owner, I dipped out when I needed to. But Christian McCaffrey out, Mike McCarthy out Thursday, and their game versus the Saints as well, as the Cowboys just seem to keep running into walls. So I assume, Mr. Gold, that Kellen Moore will take over as the head coach in his absence, and then Kellen Moore will then become the hottest coach candidate in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know who's actually going to be the interim coach.
Jerry Jones.
Honestly, that's probably the correct answer.
he comes in like Burt Reynolds from the longest yard.
Honestly, let him wear a cowboy hat on the sideline and just stand
there. Just comes out with a notepad.
Just go look like Tom Landry.
I think I can handle this.
Just look like Tom Landry on the sideline or whatever and just stand there for the game.
He basically is the head coach, right? Like, he's everything.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely that. I think for Dallas, though, I mean, they certainly have had an issue here over the last week or so with some guys with COVID, because I think it was their offensive line coach that had it last week. Now 8 staff members, including Mike McCarthy. Next up on What's Trending, a little Royals news just in terms of end-of-season awards. Salvador Perez, the player of the year, I think we would expect that, and that wasn't a surprise. Second straight year with what Salvi was able to do. Scott Barlow, the pitcher of the year for the Royals organization. Nicky Lopez winning the Joe Burke Special Achievement Award. I don't think, again, that's all that surprising either, considering what Nicky Lopez was able to do. I still go back to, it was crazy thinking of baseball and spring training and all that. how he was performing in spring training, wasn't going to be on the opening day roster. Then an injury happens. He's basically forced onto the opening day roster and then ends up having a fantastic season, hits over 300. Should have won a gold glove, as a matter of fact, as well. He was terrific.
And if he keeps it up, Cody Tapp's going to have a song about him next year.
That's right.
It's coming.
I think so.
And finally, what's trending? Max Scherzer. Yes, that Missouri native, Max Scherzer, reportedly signing, or he did, a three-year, $130 million deal with the Mets. And if baseball wasn't in the news anymore, a slight little subcontext there. Corey Seager getting very, very, very high attention from the Texas Rangers as the Dodgers shortstop.
The Rangers are spending money like crazy.
Hey, man, can't join them, buy them.
They built that brand new ballpark last year and opened it up, and they were awful, absolutely awful. And then now it's like it's year two, I guess, of the building being open with fans, that is. And now it appears they're gonna go spend some money and be all in. You know who their GM is, right?
Yeah. It says, according to John Heyman, it says Rangers are making big push for star free agent shortstop Corey Seager. Nothing done yet, but they are serious. Dodgers love Seager, but know they can just go pay $1 billion. I'm kidding, that part's not there, but they do love him, but know that they will respond. Seager is priority, but they have an excellent plan B, and of course Trey Turner. So
Chris Young, the GM of the Rangers, back in August was quoted as saying, "We'll be very active in free agency." Well, he wasn't lying. They have been very active.
That's right.
And Major League Baseball free agency. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold with you. Cody and Nick out today. Dusty filling in for him. Reminder, at 2:00, the drive takes over. And at 2:15, Patrick Mahomes, the only interview he does each and every week exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio. Patrick Mahomes will sit down with Carrington Harrison. One quick thing to throw in before we get into what the Chiefs were able to do, but while sitting on their couch all week and looking at the NFL standings, just a minute ago from Ian Rappaport, the Saints appear poised to make a quarterback change. Taysom Hill taking first team reps this week in practice to face those Cowboys. Trevor Siemian taking the number two reps. Taysom Hill got that new contract. You know, if he gets to 225 QB snaps at any season, he gets a huge bump from like, what, $40 to $90 million. So Taysom Hill, who's dealing with plantar fascia or whatever in his foot, too.
Fasciitis.
Or whatever, yeah. So
the foot injury.
Yeah. Yikes. That's,
it's kind of crazy how sometimes TV can really fit the media narrative. Because did you watch that game, Bills versus Saints?
A little bit, yeah.
Because I watched it. We were at my girlfriend's brother's house doing Thanksgiving, and then you turn into just, you know.
Were you guys a late dinner or an early afternoon? How did you get? When did
you? Well, so I have my dad's house first.
So double dip.
We planned it well. Dad's house, we did mimosas, fruit, and breakfast.
Smart.
And then we transitioned over to brother's house of my girlfriend's and did turkey, ham, classic dinners. And then late in the evening turned into playing pool, drinking games, wine, and it just all becomes a blur at that point. But then they had the Bills and Saints game on, and it's clearly a blowout. Like, Josh Allen's just having fun with everybody that's on his offensive roster. They just kept zoning in on Taysom Hill the whole end of the game. I'm like, I guess Trevor Siemian isn't going to be focused on anymore. We're just going to
Trevor
go
what?
It's Siemian. They're just going to focus on... They're just going to focus on, oh, good hell. Oh, man, sometimes I could be a real Richard. But they just kept focusing on Taysom Hill, who wasn't even playing. Like, you could hear the snap count in the background, like, boo, 80. And they're just, like, focused on cross-arm Taysom Hill when you can damn well read his mind saying, we wouldn't be losing by this much if I was in there.
Yeah, Taysom Hill, I mean, all signs pointing to him maybe getting a start. It's just still he has to know where the bodies are buried in New Orleans. That's the only explanation for why he continues to get the contracts. But at least if you're going to pay him the money, I guess play him at quarterback.
Get your money's worth.
And see how that's going to go for the New Orleans Saints against the Dallas Cowboys. Look, it was it looked like it would be, and it was, a great week for Kansas City to have a bye week. It sounds very cliche and everything, but it turned out to be that way. Yes, you would have preferred the Raiders to not have beat the Dallas Cowboys if you wanted to take a little bit of the stress off of yourself in the division, but I don't think anybody's really concerned about the Raiders after what Kansas City did to them on Sunday Night Football. The Bills, we just talked about there. Yeah, you would have liked the Saints to have beat the Bills to help maybe seeding in the AFC, but the Broncos being the Chargers, couldn't have asked for a better result there. Right, the Patriots and Titans, it was a toss-up between the two. In fact, at least with the Titans, if they're the way things are trending there, depending on tiebreakers, that still could end up being a better thing that you're not tying with the Titans. We'll see. The Bengals beating the Steelers and then the Ravens last night against the Browns. Overall, now it's set up what continues to be, I think, for the rest of this week and maybe for the rest of the season, on all the national debate shows this morning, man, the Patriots, hottest team in football, and they are. And it sets up maybe the Patriots and the Chiefs. Are those the two best teams in the AFC? If that is the case, and I'll tell you I disagree with it, but if that is the case, and things are going great for Kansas City, if your biggest challenger suddenly is the New England Patriots, as good as they're playing, it still is a rookie quarterback. Look, Mac Jones yesterday, 23 of 32, 310 yards, two touchdowns. That was the most passing yards he's had in his young career this season, his rookie year. Right, he was great. Against a Titans team that was very, very, very banged up. And I'll just give you that one because Mac Jones looked really good against a Titans defense that, for the most part, played very well. But if a team with a rookie quarterback is your biggest challenger, that still sets up very nicely for you if you're Kansas City. Now, I don't think the Patriots are the biggest challenger, though. I still think it's the Buffalo Bills. I know they're in a little bit of a lull. I feel like the Bills, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, have been kind of going through the same things the Chiefs had with Mahomes. Now, the narrative hasn't been as much that Josh Allen is broken. And I, for the record, I don't think he's broken. But if we're being fair, that should have been the conversation since it was for Patrick Mahomes. I think there's a chance that that win against the Saints, that offensive performance that the Bills had, was their kind of breakout, like the Chiefs Sunday night game against the Las Vegas Raiders. I think there's a chance that that game does the same thing for the Bills and that the Bills get rolling here. They're very one-dimensional, but maybe, just maybe, that was a win to get them going. I still consider Josh Allen, who finished second in MVP last year, and the Buffalo Bills a much bigger threat than New England. I just do. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Certainly won't be the first time in terms of in the postseason what the Patriots can do. If the Patriots end up as the number one seed, I still think, while you not maybe don't like facing Belichick and going to England, I'll still take a rookie quarterback over facing Josh Allen again, who did beat you this year and beat you pretty good this year. Now, we haven't seen the Chiefs play this version of the Patriots yet. But if that's your biggest challenger, I love Kansas City's chances, man.
The other thing, too, is it would be, I guess, a little bit more concerning if this rookie quarterback was one that they thought was going to, man, I don't know how to say this out loud, but like be somebody that was going to be like a trailblazer going forward, like a Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow type of quarterback, maybe even a Trevor Lawrence who hasn't had the year that we thought he would, but I kind of blame that on Herb. But like the thing is that, yes, Bill Belichick is that coach. And like I thought last year, I thought as long as he could get a quarterback to just kind of manage games, he could be a playoff contending team. Now, granted, we are noticing now more and more that it was Tom Brady. That was, it was 60-40, which is still a small gap. And maybe some people out there think it's 70-30 or whatever it may be. I think it was 60-40. I think Bill Belichick is, when the Patriots play, the best player on the field, just because he is the chess master. He can move things around. He can get inside quarterbacks' heads. He did exactly what we thought he'd do yesterday, where he didn't have to worry about A.J. Brown. He didn't have to worry about Derrick Henry. So all he had to do was just get inside Ryan Tannehill's head, and it worked. The only thing that made positive sense for the Titans yesterday was a draw play that went like 66 yards. That's the only thing really the Titans did that was successful, and that's one of those things where Bill Belichick's like, eh, you know what? That's fine. I'm still going to shoot below par today. I had a double bogey on 8. That's it. So I'm not concerned with the Patriots. I also look at what their schedule's been the last 6 weeks, as we talked about that earlier in the show. You just brought it up. Not a lot of strength there. Yes, they beat the Chargers in L.A. I'll give you that. I'll give credit where credit's due. But you're beating teams like the Falcons. Yeah, you're shutting them out, but who's playing in that game? Because Cordell Patterson wasn't there. That has been the biggest surprise of the NFL season. He wasn't there. Cal Ridley wasn't there. You're beating the Browns. We know what they are. Everybody's dad is tweeting out about the Browns, Kareem Hunt's dad, the most recent one. And it's just not like the bet. Like, if they were out here beating good teams, if they were out here beating contenders, and yet they haven't played the Bills, and if we both agree,
it's all going to be solved in a couple weeks. I mean,
3 weeks. They play Bills, spot Bills. And then, yes, it gets extremely easy to finish the season. I think they have like Jacksonville and Miami to finish it off. But if there's one thing that we know, you got to play the guys in your division that mean it. And that's the same thing with the Chiefs. I'm not trying to be biased towards the Chiefs. Chiefs still got to play the Broncos twice. They got to play the Chargers on the road on a Thursday night. And until then, I'm not giving the Chiefs the AFC West title or a team that is completely fearless. But I mean, again, we're having the same conversation we're having with New England. I just trust this Chiefs team with their quarterback head coach combo, as opposed to rookie Mac Jones, who, you know, we were calling Mac and Cheese 4 weeks ago.
the Patriots, I mean, they are the hottest team in football. Nobody can deny that. They won six in a row. They've outscored their opponents 148 points. And you can nitpick everybody's schedule. And I will, certainly with the Patriots, as you highlighted all of them, with the Jets and Carolina, Cleveland, Atlanta, Tennessee, everything. Almost none of that matters. Like, there's not even reason to have too much of a conversation on that, because it does just get sorted out in a couple weeks. I mean, it's this Monday night, in fact, a week from tonight, the Buffalo Bills will host the Patriots. If New England beats the Bills head-to-head in that game, then my tune has to change. And I have to feel like perhaps the Patriots can be more of a threat. It's just, in general, in a path to a playoff, or to a Super Bowl, excuse me, through the playoffs, the rookie quarterback, it doesn't bode well. It typically doesn't bode well for you to get to a Super Bowl. And that's what we're talking about for the Chiefs to try to do, right? I don't care. It's not about getting to wild card weekend, divisional weekend. Not even about getting the AFC title game, as we know in Kansas City.
Right.
It's about getting the Super Bowl and ultimately winning it. Can the Patriots win a playoff game or so? Yeah, absolutely. But I just have a hard time believing it. But one way to make me believe more is if the Patriots can beat the Bills on Monday night. And certainly, if they sweep the Bills this year in both games, then the Patriots are winning the AFC East, and the Patriots are probably going to be the number one seed. Like, the Colts will be a tough game as well. The next three are just massive games for the Patriots. But give Belichick and Mac Jones credit. I mean, I don't think anybody saw this coming so quickly for Mac Jones. They found a style that works. I still don't think they have great weapons offensively, but right now they're making it work. And they've got a really, really good defense that's getting better each and every week. And that was with them trading Stephon Gilmore. Like, that's what's crazy, too. He was playing at a high level, and that's with no Stephon Gilmore. But I just look at the Chiefs sitting at home on the bye week. Yes, there was one or two games that you could have swung in a different direction. But seeing the Chargers lose to the Broncos and seeing everybody still, including the Titans, come back to the pack in the AFC for the one seed, like, you could not have, and things could not have been going better from what, October 20th or so? Till now. I mean, it was dreadful mid-September to mid-October till Halloween, and then the tide turned. When we had the Ascension Guru, the astrologist, on the show. They said the energy's changing around November 15th. Well, they played the Raiders November 14th. Let's fast forward. Here we are about to enter December on Wednesday, and the Chiefs are first in the AFC West. All signs pointed to them maybe wrapping this thing up. I think they will in 3 weeks, and the number one seed in play.
Well, how great is it that they actually made progress without playing?
It's beautiful.
I mean, it's just like one of those things where it's like, well, it's a bye week. You can't really do anything. It's like, well, you know what? It's they just literally got help from places that they didn't think they'd get. Everyone kind of thought, maybe not everyone, but I had the Chargers winning Sunday. I didn't think they'd cover, but I had them winning. Guess what? They didn't. They went to Denver and lost again. It's been like 5 years since they've won in Denver. I'm pretty sure that's accurate. Also, the text line says you should call it a foot contusion, like you mentioned earlier. Just call everything a contusion.
Oh, well, it's not. I think the foot bruise. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it was Rapport that was tweeting, talking about Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
He had tweeted out that there was some talk that maybe it was plantar fascia, which is certainly more painful, tougher injury. Drew Brees dealt with that in 2015 all season. But all we know on that is, yeah, it looks like Taysom Hill going to be the starting quarterback there. The other part about this week, and we'll have the rest of this week to really get more into the Denver Broncos, what they were able to do, and they're a little banged up right now, although it looks like, going back to the contusion stuff, the leg contusion for Teddy Bridgewater, that leg bruise, that he's going to be all right. Otherwise, Drew Lock stepped in a little bit there for the Broncos. We'll have all week to do that. We know, though, this is prime Andy Reid week. I mean, in his career, coming off a bye week, there's nobody better than Andy Reid. I know he was asked about it during his press conference today, and he kind of shrugged it off. He's like, you guys ask me about this every year. I really don't know what it is. We prepare kind of the same. We tweak things. We see what works, but we don't really. Basically trying to downplay it a little bit. Andy Reid, after a bye week, is 26-6, if you include the postseason buys he's received from.
That's pretty good, right?
I would say so. I would say that's pretty good.
I'd like to know when those six games came.
19-3 in the regular season. 16-2 when he was with the Eagles, and 10-4 with the Chiefs, but more importantly, 7-1 since Mahomes has been his quarterback. When he gets a bye week, he's lost one time.
Shocker.
Just one time.
Yeah. You think that guy had Thanksgiving dinner and then immediately went down to the basement and put in some double fresh gum and just started breaking down the Broncos?
Of course, I'm sure. Oh, you think he had like leftovers yesterday?
I don't know. How long do leftovers last with Thanksgiving?
You're asking the wrong guy because I don't
eat leftovers?
I don't eat leftovers ever.
Even Chipotle?
No, because I eat it all.
Ah.
There's no leftover.
You've always eaten all your Chipotle?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But I don't get the burritos anymore. I get the bowl. I don't get the brick of a burrito anymore.
Are you not a Chinese food guy?
Love Chinese, yeah.
And you eat all that?
Chicken
or do
fried
you
rice.
Throw it away?
I get chicken fried rice or chicken lo mein or beef with broccoli.
Okay.
I don't get into any of the other stuff. But I usually, if it's stuff like that, I usually eat that without any, like,
I love leftovers. Like, spaghetti leftover is the best. Oh, my. See, here's the thing. I always trash Thanksgiving food, and these guys that I work with at my other job, they said that I just haven't had Thanksgiving with the right culture. So this guy gave, I'm serious.
Okay, all right.
So he gave me some culture this Thanksgiving, gave me his food that he had, loved it. Love it.
So you take some, like, I got some culture this Thanksgiving.
Like, I'm down with
it. I smoked the turkey, and some family members took home some leftovers of the smoked turkey and stuff. But I just, here's why.
Because you're having Chipotle today?
I probably will today. but to answer your initial question, I don't know if people had Thanksgiving, of course, on Thursday. Today's Monday. Is it now? Was yesterday the cutoff? Are you still diving into that?
I think Monday's the cutoff. So today, you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Today, it's got to be gone.
That's what I'm thinking. My biggest is the leftovers. Turkey just smells up the fridge, man.
Smells it up?
Yeah. I feel like when you have if you have Ziplocs and you just put a bunch of turkey in there, and I feel like, or
the problem is the sides don't hold up.
Yeah, the mashed potatoes and stuff. You're not
those
doing
are them. Fine, but yeah. Like the green bean casserole doesn't really hold up the next couple days. Dressing / stuffing doesn't really hold up the next couple days, but that's true. The text line, if you don't finish your Chipotle and you have leftovers, then you don't deserve
Chipotle. If you can't eat it in one sitting, then you really don't deserve it. You can't finish that burrito bowl on your own? Come on.
Do you have a different order if you're hungover?
At Chipotle, no.
No, I didn't get engaged.
What?
Somebody just asked if I got engaged. Oh. I didn't get
Are there rumors on the Twitter streets that you got engaged?
No, we've only lived together for 2 months, so we got a while to go.
Okay.
1 week for leftovers is the rule, according to the
a
text.
A week?
Line. That's a little strong.
For Thanksgiving? Woo! So
what about
text
pizza?
5 days for turkey. Yeah, that's probably the max.
The final word.
What about pizza?
Pizza normally lasts like 2 days at my house.
That's a leftover that you're going to eat.
You don't smash a whole pie, do you, in like one setting?
No, I usually...
You get like a pan?
Yeah, but like if there's two or three pieces left typically, and then either later that night I'll have another slice or the next day real quick and it's out.
Hell, we had our fourth Thanksgiving yesterday. My goodness.
Four of them? How big is your family?
Four Thanksgivings, not four Christmases?
That's kind of incredible, actually, as a matter of fact. Dusty, thanks for filling in today. I think you're back tomorrow, right?
We'll find out. We'll talk to the boss after this,
we'll
I'm sure.
Nick will be back tomorrow. Cody's still out. Thanks for hanging out with us. We get back at it again tomorrow. But reminder, The Drive coming up next. Patrick Mahomes with CDOT.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.